Welcome to the Reimagine Mobility podcast series. I'm here with Brian Greedy from Gridwise. And many of you may ask, what is Gridwise and what does Gridwise has to do with mobility? Most importantly, as we reimagine mobility, well, that's why Ryan is here. Thank you for joining, Ryan. You've been in this space for quite a while now. I've been following you. I believe greatly in what you guys are doing, but for everybody else that's new here, explain yourself, where you're from, what are you guys doing? What the heck is Gridwise? And then let's jump in together on how do we reimagine mobility?
Yeah, of course. Well, I appreciate you having me on the show today. And I think in starting out, you brought up the question is just, you know, what does Gridwise have to do with mobility? And, you know, what I'd like to do is first take a step back and just kind of understand the space that we are operating in, as I would define it as in really more broadly the gig economy as a whole. And as we look at the gig economy, we know I think we can all be aware to this point and say that, hey, this is a very rapidly growing space. It is growing towards becoming a key component of the not only the U.S. workforce, but the global workforce over time. And as we think about all these different types of services within the gig economy, you have Uber, you have Lyft, you have Airbnb, Upwork, and all types of different marketplaces that have really made it to be what it is now. Where Gridwise is operating is actually where about 60% of the $450 billion market of the value that's being generated in that market size is being created. And so really that is what we would define as gig mobility. So gig mobility is the way that we see that is the movement of people and goods in an on-demand fashion or served by that's really facilitated these days by a driver who's working for any of the rideshare delivery services, such as an Uber, a Lyft, a DoorDash, an Instacart, a Grubhub, and many others out there. And so Gridwise, the way that we participate in this space is we are the leading business app for all of the gig economy workers who are out there. So our app is actually helping them maximize their earnings and increase their earnings by an average of about 30% within the first month of using our mobile app by helping them just really provide all these different types of analytics that help them better manage and operate their part-time or full-time gig work. So the way that works is a user comes into the application. Once they download Gridwise, they're able to actually link their accounts to all the platforms they work for. And we're helping them track all of their trips, all of their earnings, all their gigs that they're completing, their tax deductions, really the entirety of their P&L. But then as we have hundreds of thousands of these drivers who are using our application, we're able to actually ingest, you know, tons and tons of data that's helping us become more and more aware of supply and demand across all these different platforms, which then we're able to actually bring that data back into the application by productizing that and providing analytics back to the user to provide and visibility into what is happening in the market that I am working in today, and to see time of day trends, earnings opportunities in different areas, you know, which type of work or job is going to give me the best types of tips for the morning working in this particular area that I'm going to start working in, all kinds of different analytics that really just help them become smarter about how they work. So really at our core, that is our offering for the worker themselves. As I mentioned, but on the back end part of this is we do have an enterprise business that kind of broadens our ability to actually impact the ecosystem as a whole. So what we have is this understanding of all of the mobility patterns that are happening across Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, Instacart, and others that's enabled us to really possess today what I would call the most comprehensive gig mobility data set in the US today. We have a very comprehensive view to over 140 different services that these workers are working for. And we're able to package, productize, and anonymize the data into a set of analytics that we can then license to a multitude of mobility stakeholders, whether it's automotive OEMs and helping them really think through and better understand it, how to adapt and accommodate their types of vehicles based off of how demand response of transportation is changing. We work with a lot of autonomous vehicle companies to help them think through and commercialize for ride hail and delivery purposes, as well as many other types of constituents within real estate and retail and other types of platforms. So really that's how we're serving a multitude of different stakeholders across the ecosystem.
That's fantastic. Great introduction. And let's jump right in, Ryan. I mean, you just mentioned it, right? This data is not just for the gig worker to improve his or her earnings potential, but it's also for, you mentioned it, OEMs to potentially use this data to say, what new products do we need to come out with? What new features do we may or may not need to come out with? Because of that industry growing, and vehicles are playing a key enabler in this industry as a means to an end, so to speak, right? The vehicle to drive. Again, you mentioned food deliveries, moving people around, moving goods around, et cetera. So as we reimagine mobility, what do you personally see? Not what the OEMs are saying. I know you can't share this here, but what do you personally see is going to change with future vehicles coming out from OEMs that actually look at this data? Can you give us some examples of what potentially in the next 5+ years comes out based on the data your organization or through your services has been generated and is now used by the OEMs in product development?
Yeah, of course. I would say that I think the really from my perspective is I see that mobility and like transportation as a whole, I think a lot more people can see this now is when we started GridWise, this was not as clear to everyone, is that the movement of people or goods through these types of what we see marketplaces fulfilled with the movement fulfilled by gig workers is actually becoming the standard for how we are all moving. And I would say that car, like as we think about like the utilization of the vehicle, I think what OEMs have to consider now is just that, hey, we see that these vehicles are spending a lot of their time on lots. They're spending a lot of time in their driveways. You've heard Tesla really be more vocal about this consideration around how do we actually leverage these vehicles to actually move people on in an on-demand fashion when they're just sitting around themselves. So if I'm a car owner, my car is in the driveway, I can farm it out and allow it to leverage its autonomous capabilities to actually go out and pick up people and go work for me and make money for me while I'm sitting at home, which is a crazy concept to think about. And I think for what we are helping today, a lot of these OEMs really understand is helping them better understand utilization of these vehicles. How are they being, like, what are the what are the miles traveled by these vehicles when they're being utilized for ride hail purposes, for delivery purposes? How do we help them retrofit the vehicles to accommodate those types of use cases more? But I think what you start to see is more of a gravitation towards a kind of the pulling of users through more types of like micro shuttles that are pulling users in a more on-demand responsive type of nature, which we've seen a lot of companies try to tackle that early on, like the Chariots of the world through Ford. But I think you're seeing that come back or rebound more through the likes of, you see like a Volkswagen in Austin and some of the autonomous vehicle testing that they're doing there, as well as a Zoox in some of the West Coast markets that they're socializing to be operating in at some point.
Interesting. As you look forward, Ryan, I mean, you've been in this now for many years. You've come to a place where I would say it's working well with what you're doing. And certainly, the gig space, if I may call it that way, has certainly now been established. And it's not only the thing to go to for young kids or people familiar with iPhones and then doing all this stuff online, ordering things, but anybody from whatever, 18 years old to 77, 80, 90 years old using these services now. As you look into the future, what do you see happening in the gig space? So specifically as it relates to mobility, so do you see new services happening? Do you see, I don't know, a shift maybe more into not just people and food deliveries, but maybe also, I don't know, you're going to take over from FedEx, UPS, the U.S. Postal Service? I don't know. What do you see as you look forward?
Yeah, I would say that as we think about some of the types of like future services that come into play, I think the first topic that I always get asked about a lot is just like, okay, well, GridWise is an application for gig workers. How does autonomous vehicles aren't they a threat to your business? And you know, they should be, and there's been expectations, you know, they're commercializing to really take over the market and everyone's only using those vehicles and those modes of drivers in the near future. And so I think on that point, I think we have a hybrid market between both human and autonomous vehicles operating for rideshare and delivery purposes over the next, I would say over the next 10 years at least, if not longer. I think there's a lot for the autonomous vehicle to figure out in driving in scenarios that are moving people in like high liability types of scenarios that a human driver is going to be well suited to accommodate for quite some time. Now, I think as you think about the two of those types of services, like really where we're focused in on a lot is in helping them actually work together more. Like as autonomous vehicle companies start to commercialize more and more, we have an understanding of how the market is operating, what supply looks like in real time, and where's the best ways that you or areas that you could be staging, and how do these types of modes of drivers work together the best. And so for us is we're working to facilitate that future, but we do think that it's quite some time away before you'll see a mass adoption of those vehicles out on the road. I think also as you think about the categories of the vehicle, like where they're focused on is between, as you think rideshare or delivery, you see a lot of the vehicles are actually autonomous vehicle makers are focused on commercializing for rideshare purposes over delivery at first. Why? Is because the economics are just more lucrative from a rideshare standpoint. The prices are going to be much higher. The volume or frequency of rides is shown to be much higher. And as you look at delivery, there's a much higher margin compression that exists. And if you look at the cost of the vehicles and the hard costs or fixed costs that these companies have, there's still a lot to figure out from a batching standpoint. It's like, how do I batch multiple deliveries into one order to make this profitable? And I don't think that's really been figured out well. And so anybody who is participating, most of these companies who are participating in any deliveries that go travel over a mile today, outside of the sidewalk robots that you may see going around, they're going to be a lot of them are focusing on rideshare for that reason. Outside of that, I think from a good standpoint, you're starting to see a drone delivery become more of a mode that's picking up as well. And so I think in terms of how you think about like what's the future of FedEx or UPS or any of these last mile logistics companies, like how do they evolve over time? I think they're going to be they're becoming disrupted more so by drone delivery, but also how humans are actually using their personal vehicles to deliver as well. And so I think to get ahead of that, you see them making investments in a space where you look at UPS, who has acquired Roadie. And Roadie has been really a general delivery company that's focused on kind of retail delivery, same day retail delivery, and other types of last mile deliveries. But it's really everyday drivers, gig workers who are using their vehicles to deliver different types of goods. And so UPS has actually started to invest more aggressively in this space because of that, them seeing kind of the trend in there. And you see that some of those investments in drone delivery as well.
Oh, yeah, you just took that next question of mine away, which is exactly was drones and let's call them eVTOLs as well. But I guess the next question then for me would be, as you look at, again, all these different vehicles, right, that you just mentioned, behind it is always, to one degree or another, potentially a gig worker that can use your app. As you look to future transportation modes where, again, a gig worker could be, are there other things that you potentially could see besides, again, an automobile, a drone, I mean, bicycles, right? People in inner cities deliver pizzas and other things on bicycles. What other modes of transportation, as we talk here, mainly mobility, that we don't really see yet being used, do you see in your industry or have companies approached you with to say, hey, I think your app for my gig workers using whatever means for transportation would also be, well, can you make adjustments? Can you use it, et cetera? What else do you see, Ryan, in this space?
Yeah, I would say you brought up the eVTOLs in the last statement. I would say we've actually worked with a lot of the companies who are working towards building air taxis as well to help them think through how they commercialize for air taxi purposes, really focused around like where do I put the landing pads and so some of them are looking at leveraging existing infrastructure to like existing helipads that they can leverage, and others are looking to kind of build their own infrastructure based off of that. And so we've actually been a key component to informing the sites of and helping them think through that a little bit further with a ground truth source of where they're trying to actually replace long distance rideshare trips, essentially. In terms of other types of gig work that we've been really deeply entrenched in the mobility side, we have broadened relevancy out into other types of categories of gig work that haven't always like catered themselves as much to mobility, but they may be using their vehicle as a means to facilitate a portion or component of their work. And so when I think of those examples of those types of companies would be more of like you could even think of as the dog walking services, like a Rover or a Wag, where in most cases what we've seen is the worker is driving to the house or residence of where they need to pick up the actual pets from. The TaskRabbit's another household service where people are using their vehicle for that mode as well. And so I think that the vehicle is here to stay on. It's interesting to see the vehicle usage across gig work and how that's playing out to facilitate movement of another individual who wants to go from point A to point B for their own personal reasons, but also the individuals who are going from point A to point B for their own work purposes to facilitate or complete a job, and it's necessary to do so. And so I think that's like another key component or use case that those focus on the autonomous side, those focus on demand responsive shuttles, also are having and need to consider, if they're not already considering, the different types of use cases and how much gig work is actually impacting mobility.
Very good. If we take for a moment a slightly different point of view that you have with your experience, for sure, I assume at least, Ryan, what amazes you the most? What has excited you the most if you look back 5 years ago to how it was in the grid in the gig working space, sorry, to today? What has amazed you the most? Is it the growth? Is it the adoption? Is it maybe the slowness of adoption? Is it that COVID slowed it down? COVID helped you because less people want to go to the store still and are just used to ordering things, and that's where gig workers come in. But share a little bit, again, not necessarily direct related to mobility, but obviously it is. But if you look over the last 5 years, if you look back 5 years, what are you saying? Wow, A, that was amazing, or that is amazing, and B, that is surprising to me. I did not expect that, or we at GridWise did not expect that.
Yeah, I would say what's been very surprising and was unexpected for all of us to see the way that it has all played out was just the explosive level of growth and adoption that took place on delivery, particularly on the food and grocery. Parcel has kind of been a facilitation of e-commerce as well, but I think that was if you look at e-commerce, last mile delivery, you look at food, you look at grocery, the unexpected event that none of us saw coming was the pandemic. And that taking place really just accelerated the level of habituality that exists in these services today. Is if I think back to 2017, when we first launched GridWise, we were, as a company, very rideshare focused. And if you looked at the gig mobility space, most of the adoption was around rideshare. Most of the expansiveness and coverage and accessibility were related to rideshare services across the U.S. And so that's where we had focused early on and had really built our wedge, was in supporting those types of workers, and our app experience really catered to them much more, which going into the pandemic, we were actually timing up a direction into where we start to expand our relevancy to different types of workers, starting with delivery. That timeline accelerated quickly when the pandemic hit. We're like, okay, well, rideshare is completely tanked. And we need to actually figure out, we need to make some changes really quickly and accelerate the plans that we had to get into this space. And so doing so and making that move helped us really combat the initial decline that had taken place in our business from just being focused on rideshare. But I think just the seeing the rapid growth of that is really just was something that we thought was going to take a lot longer to play out. And I think even as we would raise money or talk to different players in the space, is I don't think anyone really realized really valued how important the gig workers were to make all of this work, and how critical it was to amass this network of gig workers. Like the Ubers and Lyfts obviously saw that they're operating in the marketplaces, but a lot of people from the outside couldn't see that. It's like, wow, whoever amasses a large network of gig workers is positioned to actually operate a multitude of different types of services that becomes a very powerful wedge that you have in the market. And so for us as a company, being that really service layer over 140 different companies we see these workers working for has really positions us to really open up a lot of different types of services to these workers in a unique way that a lot of others can't.
Okay. Two more questions. First one, the exact opposite of what I just asked. So not looking back, but looking forward 5 years. What do you see changing? What do you see as the most exciting part about Pet Grid-wise or in this space do you see happening or expecting to happen over the next 5 years? What are you most excited about?
Yeah, I'm most excited from our perspective, most excited around tackling the challenge tied to utilization of not only the vehicle, but the workers themselves. We see that these workers are spending majority of their time, about 57% of their time and miles on the road with no goods or no passengers in their vehicle. And so that's a large part of time of where we're just, you know, someone's just driving around aimlessly with no, like just losing money as they're doing so and accruing expenses to their vehicle. And so for us, I think it ties back to what I was speaking to of being this service layer over the industry. What we get excited about are a lot of the initiatives that we have in place to actually increase that utilization and get that from 50 ticket for 57% of the time that they're not utilized and shrink that down to 40, 30, 20%. And the way that we do so is in building this massive network of gig workers and being able to actually allow other types of companies to access those workers directly through Gridwise and actually have their different types of flexible type of shift jobs that they can actually that can be facilitated through our application. And so I think for us, like that is an exciting endeavor that we are looking forward to over the coming years that I think really changes the way that people work and enables them more and makes the gig economy more of a sustainable type of work option for many in the U.S.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, last question, totally different. What's going to be the next car you buy, Ryan, and why?
The next car, I would say that, you know, the last one I bought was a Volvo XC60, actually. And I've really grown accustomed to liking the Volvo, so I could see the next generation of that as being one where I'd probably stick within that brand. I like changing it up, but I also like this car, so...
I consider it. I get it. Very good. Thank you so much, Ryan. Very interesting. Very insightful for me. You learned a lot. I mean, following you guys, like I said, since your inception almost, I believe. And this was very insightful and very helpful. Thank you so much.